Welcome to the Loving Wellness Podcast, your compass to embracing a holistic approach to health, one that extends love not only to your body and spirit, but also ripples outward to those around you. I'm your host, Ava Nori, a registered dietitian and your wellness BFF. Together, we'll dive deep into all the ways you can practice loving wellness in your own life and tap into the healthiest, happiest, most aligned version of yourself through both solo episodes and conversations with experts in many fields. Let's get into the show. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Loving Wellness Podcast, and welcome if you're new. Happy April. I hope you're all having a great start to your month, a great start to the spring season. I know I'm feeling a lot better with more sunshine and warmth, and I feel like everyone's mood is just a little bit uplifted, and that kind of goes along with today's episode, because if you've been in some sort of a low in your life, feeling a little disconnected from yourself, feeling like you're just in it with the challenges that life brings up, or maybe you're just feeling a little bit unmotivated, today's episode is sure to inspire. I'm so excited to introduce you all to Emily Feichels. She is today's guest on the podcast, and Emily's story is truly so inspiring. I know I used that word already, but there's really no better word for it. And I think that the messages that we talk about and that she shares in this podcast are just so important, no matter what you're dealing with in your life. Emily is a content creator. She is the host of the Let's Thrive podcast, and we actually did a podcast swap. So I'm going to be on her show. If you want to check that episode out, we talk about so many different topics, and we kind of mentioned that episode in this episode quite a bit. So I'll link that below in the show notes as well for you if you want to go ahead and listen to me on the other side of the mic. But in this episode, we talk about Emily's entire journey, and it is quite the journey. I mean, we talk about so many of the experiences that Emily's had, and at such a young age too, from losing her mom at the age of 10 to breast cancer and moving through that grief, as well as getting diagnosed with hepatitis C and healing from chronic illness and the lessons she's learned from that. We talk about healing from eating disorders. We talk about trauma. We talk about so many of the tools that have helped Emily come out the other side. And I think the running theme and what I would love for everyone to take away is that no matter what your circumstances are and no matter what life throws at you, you can turn that pain into purpose. And Emily is such a good example of that. And she is just such a light. I mean, you can hear it in her voice and in the way that she shares her story. She's such a beautiful storyteller, but she's also just learned so much and has so much wisdom to share from these experiences. And we talk about so many other things. I mean, moving away from a victim mindset and using challenges to learn and grow and connecting with your inner child and how to open your heart back up to love when you've closed it off, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. I mean, there's just so much in this episode. And another one of my favorite parts was where we talked about reconnecting back to God and to faith and a higher power within us. And also the importance of community on these healing journeys and attracting aligned people into your life and how to become that authentic version of yourself so you can attract authentic people. So I think you're going to love this one. I had the best time chatting with Emily, and I'm so excited for you all to just listen and get to know her a little bit better. So I'm going to let you do that. But before I do, if you haven't yet, if you could please leave this show a 5-star rating and review if you like it, and share it with a friend, share it with someone you think this would help. And if you want to stay updated with the podcast, with new episodes, all the things, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify and give me a follow on Instagram at Ava Nori Wellness, where I post about new episode updates, clips from the episodes, and lots more. So with that being said, enjoy the episode. Let us know what you think over on Instagram. I think you're going to love this one. Like I said, this was one of my favorite conversations to date, to be honest. And I really hope it'll meet you where you're at right now. Okay, enjoy. And I will talk to you in next week's episode. I'm so excited to have this conversation now after we've talked for an hour already leading up to it, because I feel like now I have even more questions for you than when I initially prepared and was thinking of what we could talk about together. I feel like there's just so many parallels in our stories and lives. So I'm really excited to dig into you and everything that has gotten you to where you are today. So welcome to Loving Wellness, Emily. I think where I want to start is Emily as a child. And really going back to like that time in your childhood where you felt most connected to yourself before you started picking up the limiting beliefs we pick up and the programming we pick up when we're children, and going into adolescence, teenagehood, adulthood. And I know that you talk a lot about these moments of disconnection from yourself and when that started for you. So I'd love to kind of hear that whole journey and how that unfolded from childhood.
Yes, that's a great question to start with. And reflecting back what you said, I'm so excited and honored to be here. So thank you again. Yeah, little Emily, reconnecting with her and who I was and who I am has just been such a big part of my more recent healing journey. And just realizing, similar to what you and I have been talking about a lot, which is like how much the past has and still does impact my present when I'm not aware of like what's running underneath the surface. And so going back then, like little Emily, when I reconnect with that aspect of me, it's this like bright sunshine soul, like bursting energy, just this little girl that wasn't afraid of anything and anyone. Like she was running the show from like day one. Like I went to a daycare and I couldn't just be like another kid at daycare. I literally befriended all of the adults. I was running the kitchen. I was like making snacks for everybody. Everyone was on my side. I was like holding the babies, though I technically wasn't allowed. Like I've always just been that type of person to just like really just grab life and like make the most of it. And yeah, she was fierce. She was fun. She was just full of life and full of energy. And then unfortunately, like kind of as you alluded to a little bit ago, is that there was this big disconnect that happened, you know, and life really started to present some challenges and hurdles. And little me just wasn't really equipped to get through those in the best of manners. And so started this sort of just like layering of micro and macro traumas that slowly over time just sort of built these like walls and layers all around me. And the way I've always viewed it is that I was such a shining little light bright when I was a little child, as we all are. And then over time, like I just kept building these protective walls and like layers around me to protect that self, but in turn separating like my light from like the world and everything and everyone around me. And so I, over a long span of time, just felt this deeper and deeper disconnect from myself, from who I was and who I wanted to be, from life and the people in it. And then, you know, I've spent the past couple years now trying to sort of go back and peel back those layers and take down the walls and reconnect with that inner child and that inner light and really just let myself shine again. And so that's a roundabout way of saying there was a lot of trauma and a lot of shit to work through, and we can dive into whatever you want. But yeah, this like reconnecting with that inner child, little me, the most authentic version, who I came into this world as, has been so powerful and so transformative.
Mm-hmm. I love the way you put it. You had this light, which we all do within us when we're children. And we think we're protecting that light by adding these layers, but that just makes us further and further from that light. It kind of separates us. And you just put it so eloquently. And I loved that visual. It's kind of like you think it's a shield or a protective layer, but it's actually more of a wedge in between you and your true self. And so I find that it's really powerful to start to peel back those layers and come back home to yourself. And I'd love to kind of dig into, not to, you know, rehash every single traumatic thing that happened, but we haven't really talked about grief on this podcast yet. And I know you lost your mom to breast cancer at such a young age. And I would love to hear just kind of how that shaped Emily as a teenager, Emily as an adult now, and how you moved through that grief at such a young age and the things that you did to cope and how you came out of those things. Because I know you also went through disordered eating and eating disorder as well. And I find that that's very true for so many of us, that like there was something that led to that. It wasn't just out of thin air. So can you kind of talk about that whole journey as well and what that looked like for you?
For sure. I've come to view grief as one of the greatest teachers and lessons that we can learn in this life. And we all experience it at one point or another. And as you mentioned, for me, my first initiation to grief started at a really young age. And I think what was interesting about my experience and what I've really come to like sort of like dissect in recent years is that the grief started before the actual like grief hit. So when I was around 7 or 8 years old was when I first started to understand that my mom would likely die, just like given the trajectory of where her cancer was going. And so at a very young age, I had to, you know, really have these big concepts going through my little mind of, you know, praying to God and is God going to save my mom and is mom going to die and what happens when she dies and where does she go and what happens to me and what happens to my family. And I had all of these like preemptive grief thoughts and realizations coming through to me. And then when the day actually came that she did pass, it was just like rug being pulled out from under you in the biggest of ways, of just sort of like watching and seeing your very experience of life fracture before your very eyes. And it's this realization of like nothing will ever be the same again, that I think, you know, we can experience in a lot of ways, maybe after a breakup, whatever it is, but there's something about the physical loss of someone and knowing that their physical body and presence in your life is forever gone. And it just hits in a like slightly different way. And so having all that come to me and experiencing that as a child of, I was like 10 years old when it like actually happened, really didn't, you know, it's different once again. Like if I had experienced that now or when I was 30 or 50, whatever it is, I think it could have been an entirely different experience, but having it be so young, it really did catapult me into some really like dark places that I've then spent most of my life trying to get out of, right? And trying to take down those walls and whatever it is. So the grief of losing her really just, it was an experience I didn't know how to move through or be with. And my like poor little body was just freaking out because my mind was freaking out. My heart was breaking, all of the things. And so it really led me into some deep depressive episodes, some like, do I even want to be here? Ideation thoughts. It was the start of a lot of emotional eating for me because it was my comfort place and my solace. And it just really sparked a dark night of the soul at young, young age. And then what was interesting is that I kind of felt like this sort of like, I'm done with the grief. Like, I don't want to feel this way. I want to move on. I was like, I want to get my spark back for life, but I didn't know how. And so what I ended up finding my way to do that was through exercising and having a weight loss journey and giving myself this like goal of, I want to lose this much weight, because I was, you know, a slightly larger size at that age. There was a lot of emotional eating. I didn't feel good in my body. And I started to research, you know, it kind of started to clicking of like, okay, my mom died from cancer. My grandma did. I had this thought of like, I was going to. So I became obsessed with health because I didn't want to get cancer. That was like the connect the dots in my mind. And then I started to realize, oh, when I'm focusing on health and I'm exercising and I'm counting calories and I'm doing all these things, there's not even room for the grief. It's out the side door because all my focus and all my attention is going towards this. And the this that I was working towards was just this like false sense of happiness and security and safety I thought I would feel if I reached this certain body type, because I thought it would mean I wouldn't get cancer and I wouldn't get sick and people would love me more and I would feel seen and all of these things, right? So I spent years chasing that image and that false sense of whatever I thought it would be. And from there, fell into like deep, deep disordered eating, eating disorder, went to treatment, just like, I don't know. And in that time, I really did start to lose a big, big part of myself. It was a big time of disconnection, dissociation. And it's only like now and more recent years that I grieve that version of me who felt so lost and so disconnected. And that's like another sort of grief in itself. And then a few years into it, I had an aunt that became like a second mother to me. And she was the first person that I really started to open my heart to again. And I know you talk about this a lot, like the importance of having that open heart and being in love and having love and that loving energy. And I had been closed off to that for so long after losing my mom. I wouldn't hug my dad. I wouldn't say I love you to anyone for like years. I was steadfast, arms crossed, like no love is entering here because to love is to lose. And I can't lose anyone ever again. And I remember with this aunt, it was like a couple months of this buildup. And then the one day when she said, I love you, I like whispered it back. And I remember thinking in that moment, like, oh my goodness, I just said, I love you. I just told her I love you. And I just remember getting this like surge of excitement and energy of like, oh my God, I can love again. And here's this woman that makes me feel safe and secure and comforted. And it just felt like such a revelation. It's like 14, 15 at the time. And then a couple months later, she got diagnosed with cancer and it turned into a near replica of what had happened with my mom, where a couple months in, I just knew intuitively that she wasn't going to make it, which is like a horrible feeling in itself. And then even down to like the last day I had with her in the hospital, they both went unconscious. So I couldn't say my goodbye. It was just such a similar experience that it honestly felt like life was just mocking me. And that closed me off so hard. It was my like, fuck you to life, fuck you to God. I lost all belief in higher power. I lost all belief in anything. Like I went entirely inward and just became very disconnected from everything, disconnected from myself, and was just running off of pure adrenaline, fear, ego, all of the things. And that, you know, had its own journey of itself. And a few years, you know, I don't know, I sort of came out of that. I sort of opened up some more, but it was always this like undercurrent of what had happened. And so the grief of her loss really catapulted me into some other major life shifts, a bit more of like disordered eating stuff. And then throughout there, there's just been some other little like experiences with grief of other family members. And it's truly just over time become like more and more of a teacher for me. And I feel like now I'm kind of rambling a bit, but yeah, grief is like, there's been a lot to it and it's taught me a lot. It's brought me to my knees and it is like ultimately how I've become who I am today. And so I now have so much like gratitude and respect for what it has taught me. And I truly do think some souls come into this life to leave early, to help others along their own journey and teach us lessons and learnings that we need to know. So yeah, an interesting journey. And I think I kind of lost track there, but that's where we're at.
No, you shared so beautifully. And I just want to thank you for just being so vulnerable and open. And it's obvious that you went through so many transformative, devastating, really big life moments at such a young age. And you can just tell in the way that you speak about it now that you really have chosen, and it is a choice to use these things for your upliftment and growth instead of staying in that victim mentality, which a lot of people do. And I don't blame them too, because that is so heavy and it's so much to go through. And I just have so many questions and so many ways I could take this. But I think the first thing that comes to mind is there's been so many reasons that you could right now at this time of your life not be that childlike self that you've found your way back to almost. And you mentioned something which I really want to touch on, is this like fuck you to the world and to God. And that's something I've had to work on as well, is when I'm putting out fuck yous, and that's what I call it and that's what my mentor calls it as well, it's like that's what's going to come back to me. And so if I have a fuck you to the world or to God, it's like, what am I doing with my energy? What am I doing with that, with my relationship to the thing that's the most important to me, which is the source of all life on this earth? So I would love to know how you kind of got out of that fuck you energy, how you started to heal from fuck you to thank you. How does that happen? How did you start to reconnect? And I know that could be a whole podcast in and of itself. And I know you also have a podcast on that. So people should definitely go listen to your solo episodes on this. I listened to the one about disconnection in preparation for this and just loved the way you shared your story and so many amazing lessons. But if you could kind of in a nutshell in any way, or just the most important things you've learned and how you started to reconnect back to self.
Yeah. Well, I love that. The fuck you to thank you. And honestly, I haven't shared this portion of the story yet, even on my podcast. So this is fresh off the press. But yeah, the most recent part of my healing and overall like transformation life story has been the reconnection to spirit and to source and to God. And I suppose where it started was in, I'd say, the past 3-4 years. I really started to make a lot of headway with my like recovery from disordered eating. I was doing a lot of work with the grief and to move out of that victim mindset, because I was in that for a long time, as you said, which makes sense. And so the last few years of doing, you know, lots of therapy, Reiki, somatics, breath work, just finding these healing modalities and these healing practices that really helped me to start to chisel away at the like walls that I had put around myself. It has become, I can now look back and connect the dots and see how it's been this slow reconnection by like chiseling away at those things and like breaking down the stone walls bit by bit and letting like more of the metaphorical light just like shine in, shine out. And so I think like what has been like the biggest part of shifting from that fuck you to thank you has been this gradual reconnection. And it started with, you know, reconnecting with my emotions and feeling safe to feel and express. And I did that through a lot of therapy practices and breath work and even somatics, reconnecting with my body to let it move and animate and just like take up space. And even like the way I smile is different, just letting my body be in itself again has been a big reconnection point. And once again, I've done that through somatics. I've done that through strength training and finding different ways that feel good to move in my body. I've, you know, started to reconnect with my mind by doing a lot of, yes, mindset work, but I think also like the somatics and the reconnection with like self work flows into that. But then, as I mentioned before, the biggest pivotal piece has been reconnecting with source, God, universe, whoever, however you want to say it. And for me, it started out, you know, my like tiptoe into it was through manifestation and speaking to universe and being like, okay, I'm working with the universe and I'm manifesting this and I'm doing that. And that felt like a really nice gradual step in for me because, you know, growing up, I was Catholic. I prayed. I felt very connected to God. And then everything happened. And as I said, I did the fuck yous and I put up the walls and I was like, I don't believe. There's nothing there. I'm on my own. I'm in this all alone. And so to go from that extreme back to some sort of a belief, I think it takes time. And it's sort of this titration where you have to like ease yourself into it. At least for me, I couldn't go from being like, fuck you to immediate thank you. I needed to work my way up there. And so, yeah, it started with like just being open to universe and manifesting and realizing like, oh yeah, there's definitely some energy out there. You know, we're not just a bunch of like human forms bebopping around. So then from there, I think just the more I deepened my breathwork practice and meditation and other practices that really helped me just get out of the constraints of the physical body and really connect with my soul and my spirit was what allowed me to just start to like expand that general belief and understanding of just what's out there and just what's possible and just what's within us all. And so then about a year ago now, I started working with psychedelics in a bit more of a like therapeutic setting. And it was one of the first times in about 10, 15 years, like since losing my mom, that I felt the direct connection to source, to God again. And I remember just being blown away because I had thought I would never feel that again. I thought I would never have that connection again. And the moment I felt that, like the connection there, I was like, oh my God, this is what I've been missing. This is what has been like holding me back from reaching the peace and the joy and the lovingness that I've been seeking for so long. It's because I then realized, I was like, oh, when I'm connected to source and to God, I'm connected to myself and to everyone and to everything. And it just was like fireworks off in my mind of, oh, this is it. So then what was interesting is that I associated that connection to source as something I could like only really get to through psychedelic experiences again. And, you know, I'd have like little moments of like sending up a prayer or whatever, but it never really felt genuine. So then I went down this like rabbit hole of, without realizing it, trying to seek that connection again, not realize like I could just, like, it's whenever, it's however, like it's, I don't have to seek out that connection. Like I truly think God is within all of us and whatnot. We can go down a whole other spiral. But anyway, the last year, a few months especially, just reconnecting with self through source has been transformative. And just, I mean, it's like so much of what you talk about too, like the loving energy, forgiveness, moving on from judgment, the way I connect with all aspects of self and with others, and the way I show up. And even just putting in perspective, why am I chasing this body type when I am quite literally this spirit? You know, it's just, it just unfolds so many other things. So shifting from fuck you to thank you was this like gradual unfolding, where now like my gratitude just feels like it comes from such a deeper place, because it's just, I lost it and I found it again. And it just hits very differently than what I remember.
Oh my God. Once again, so much to say. And I feel like there's just so many parallels that I'm so happy we're talking about this, because I've talked about this topic a few times, but it's not something I, you know, there's this sometimes a stigma. And I've had a conversation before on the podcast about this, about God and about this connection to this source that we have and that is within all of us, like you said. And that's, I truly believe that. But like you said, it's a gradual process, and we don't always go from not believing in anything to this entire life of devotion. So I love that you said that manifestation got you into it, because that was also kind of my entry point as well. Like, I always believed in God, but then looking back and going back to that fuck you mentality, out of God come all things. Like, everything is from source, right? So if you're judging and hating the things in this world that come from that source, then you're almost in that fuck you space anyway, even if you're not trying to be. So for me, that looked like for a long time hating religion, because look at what religion brings into this world, war and all these negative things. And then it's like, okay, well, but God created religion, like God created all of this stuff. So instead of hating it, maybe like, what can we learn from it? What can we take away? Like, religion isn't bad or good. Nothing is bad or good, but it's like, what can we learn from it? And how can we have gratitude for that? So I love this kind of trajectory of getting into, you know, the manifestation work, seeing that there is this energy around us and just tapping into that. And then it's so interesting that you kind of got into psychedelics then to really feel that, because it's a common thing. It's like, oh, I finally feel connected to God, to spirit. And then the deeper kind of spiritual awakening comes when you realize that you can get into that state anytime, any place, and it doesn't require an external substance. And I think that's the true spirituality of it all. And I just really love the way that you shared that, because I think a lot of people expect it to happen overnight if they're on this kind of spiritual growth journey. But it's also about like holding gratitude for the space that you're in now, which I know we talked about in my episode on your podcast. So I guess all that being said, what are, and you mentioned some of the practices, breath work and meditating, but how do you tap into that space now and really connect with source wherever you are, regardless of, you know, if you have psychedelics on you or if you, you know, whatever you're, whatever space you're in, how do you get back into that and drop back into your faith?
It's an ongoing figuring it out for me, to be honest. What's been neat though is that since I discovered months ago, like, oh, psychedelics are not like, that's not why I'm connecting to source, right? It's like within. It's been cool to now realize like all the micro ways that I can connect throughout my days. And some days, you know, it's easier for me than others, but really when it comes to it, I'd say like, yeah, breath work, meditation, but more so also just like when I'm in nature and I'm just looking up at the sky and the clouds and just the magnitude of world around us and nature and what is like pure creation is such a connection moment for me in that sense. Or when I'm with my animals, like my dog, Timber, or my cats, and I'm just like petting them and I'm like, this creature, like, and you know, like if anyone who has pets probably relates, like sometimes you look at them and you're just like, wait, what the fuck? It's just like creature, you know, and it just reminds you like,
yeah,
it's just another form of creation and they have their own entire world that we don't understand is happening within them. And it's just little moments like that, I think, when I'm honestly connecting with creation, that I feel that connection. And it's like you said before, because the way I view it is that, yes, like we all are creation. And so when I'm around nature and natural creations, I feel that connection. Or when I'm creating, I feel that. And that's why I'm so adamant about like finding your preferred source and form of creation. For me, I love to cook and to bake. I love to sing. I love to write. These are all ways in which I'm literally fulfilling and embodying what we all are, which is creation. And then I am creating and doing it. So it's like through those types of acts or in those places of nature that I feel oftentimes the most connection of just this greater power that is like connecting everything and everyone. And it's been interesting because similar speaking to what you said before about having that hate and judgment against religion, I definitely went through that. And we talked about this in our episode for my podcast, similar to like I expressed in that episode how I had a fear around sharing my quote unquote healthy lifestyle because I didn't want people to judge me as being disordered. Same goes for this. I have been so hesitant, and I've literally not talked about this before. So thank you for giving me the space to. I've been so hesitant to talk about this like reconnection with faith and God and source because I've been so afraid of people judging me as a like Jesus lover. Or just, and I don't mean for that to come off wrong either, but there's a lot of extremes out there, right? And I see people that are just, you know, preaching and putting a man or a figure as this source of faith and creation. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's it, but I also don't want to be on the extreme of I don't believe in anything. And so I have this fear of speaking about, you know, prayer or faith or God or any of it, because I'm like, I also don't want people to label me as that Catholic girl that I was when I grew up, because it's such a different connection now. So it's so nuanced, it's so convoluted, even though it shouldn't be, because like just choose love over fear and whatnot. But it's just so funny, like the fucking spirals and twists we go through with like the mental fears and thoughts and projections that come in. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, my heart's like wide fucking open to faith in God again. And it feels great.
There's so much once again to say. I feel like I could go off on this, but I've felt that way too and didn't want to use the word God. And I still get I think you probably noticed, I was like, God, universe, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it. And also it's about being respectful, because I understand some people are uncomfortable with that word, and that's, you know, their own work and trajectory and stuff to ask themselves about and get curious about. And it's not to say that what we're saying is right and everyone else is wrong, and this is just how we perceive the world and believe. But I think that being fearful of sharing that with others is only dimming our light. And so I've only recently become more comfortable talking about it. And I think it's so important that you said, like, you don't want to be seen as X, Y, or Z, like as a, for lack of a better term, Jesus lover or all these things. And it's because like this world has become so extreme, and it's become so also political. And I don't know if we want to go down that hole right now, but like, it's almost like if you believe in God, you have this political lens as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see that blend. And I understand the history behind it and why, but it comes back to the questions I ask myself. And we talked about earlier, is it loving and is it serving me? And I found that it really wasn't serving me to be living from that place of fear. And I know that when I talk about it in the way that I approach my spirituality, my relationship with God, my faith, that it'll resonate with the people that it's supposed to resonate with. So if you're listening and it resonates with you, you're not alone, and you don't have to be in an extreme to believe in this stuff. And I think that this is just such an important conversation. So thank you for sharing that and opening that up and opening about your fears around that, because they're so real and I've been there and I still have to, you know, work through some of that. But I find that it's the most precious relationship I've had in my life. And as silly as that might sound to someone listening who maybe isn't in that space or hasn't had that experience, that's my truth. And so I think it just comes back to sharing what's true for you and what really works for you too, and talking from your lived experience, which is what I try to do. Because we all have something valuable to share when it comes to our experience. And going back to your experience, you know, we talked about grief. We touched on your journey with disordered eating and eating disorders, and, you know, so much more to say on now living a healthy lifestyle, but coming at it from such a different place and really having that fear too of not wanting to be seen as someone who is falling back into disordered eating, but also you have such a different intention around it now. So we talked about that on my interview on your podcast. So if people want to listen to that, I kind of want to move into chronic illness with you, because I know that you also had an experience in your life with hepatitis C. And I think that that experience and just what you learned from it could be so valuable for people to hear, regardless of if they're dealing with a chronic illness or not. So can you talk about what that's been like for you and how you kind of moved through that? I'm sure so many feelings came up for you, whether it was shame, guilt, frustration, anger, once again, a lack of faith, like, why is this happening? Victimizing. So any and all of that and what you've learned from that, I think would be really valuable.
Yeah. So that's actually a crazy story, and it ties into the grief a lot. So I'm excited we get to talk about this. So for a bit of backstory, back explanation, in the midst of my mom's cancer struggles, at the one point when she was in a hospital, a doctor was using patient needles and he infected her with hepatitis C. So in the midst of her cancer remission, she got knocked down by hep C. And for anyone that doesn't know, it is one of the most like horrible conditions you can move through. Back then, treatment was very spotty. So like, we thought she might never recover from that. And somehow, like, she pulled through, she did it. She then developed cancer again. And that's ultimately, like, the cancer was what took her, you know, ended her life. But the hep C definitely took a toll on her body. And it was just this big thing. So fast forward, probably about, it was 6 years after she passed. I was going to donate blood at my school, and they marked my blood as having like high liver enzymes, something to do. And they marked it as like potential hep C, hepatitis C. And I was like, oh my God, that can't be true. We did some more tests and they're like, oh, okay, no, you just have antibodies. It looks like you were exposed to it, but your immune system fought it off. It's like, okay, thank God, you know, like, and that just was like a flash to the past of like, oh my goodness, like, my mom had it. I almost had it. Good thing I didn't. Shortly after that, my body was getting really torn down by the disordered eating. I was vegan at the time, and my body just went into like a really bad health spot. And then a couple months later was when my aunt passed, and I went through this immense grief. And as I said before, she passed in a very similar way to my mother. Next thing you know, in the months following my aunt's passing, I start developing a lot of odd health symptoms. And I don't know, like, my intuition even then told me something was different, something was wrong. These weren't just like random one-offs, but the doctors, you know, they were running tests. They couldn't find anything. They're like, you're stressed, you're grieving. There's, you know, a lot happening, blah, blah, blah. And I just knew, I was like, something's not right. You know, like, I'm 16, 17, going into 18. Like, I shouldn't be having this bad of insomnia, and my joints are aching so bad. I have to do yoga every morning just to like be able to move and not feel stiff. I was falling asleep while I was driving. I was so fatigued. I couldn't eat anything. My skin, I had like chronic rash and acne everywhere, extreme brain fog, like, you name it. I felt like I was falling apart, but nobody could figure out what it was. So then during that time, I was so sick, I decided to leave college after a few days. So I came home, I started my Instagram, I started my podcast, and I start connecting with people. A year or two later, so I've now been suffering with these like symptoms and illness, and I have to live like a super type A life just to keep my symptoms in check. I go visit my friend living in Dallas. It was my first time here in Austin, actually. And then I went to Dallas to see her. Her husband ended up being a skin doctor, a dermatologist. And the one night we just got talking about like all my health symptoms and how I couldn't figure them out. And I didn't think he could help me. Like, he's a dermatologist. What the fuck is he going to tell me? But then he starts asking me about my medical history. And I mentioned my mom having hepatitis C. I don't even know why I mentioned that, but I mentioned it. And he starts putting the dots together. And he's like, honestly, a lot of this could be caused by hepatitis C. You should probably get tested for that again. And I was like, no, I have the antibodies, whatever. He directs me to a doctor. He picks a random doctor in Pittsburgh, which is near where I live in Pennsylvania at the time. I go to the doctor. I don't tell anyone in my family because I don't want them to worry. I go to the doctor. It is the same doctor, the same office that my mom did all of her hepatitis C treatment through. And I'm just feeling like shockwaves. Once again, like the insane similarity hitting me again of like a major, like, fuck you, what is happening? And I remember sitting in the doctor's office, like, he knew it was me. He remembered my mom. It was just so wild. And we do the tests, and I had chronic hepatitis C. And I was just like, how and why did this happen? And even then, and what I still think happened is the extreme like shock of the grief paired with like the impaired state of my body from not caring for it properly activated the hep C antibodies or something that I had, whatever happened. Yeah. I was diagnosed with chronic hepatitis C at like, I think I was 20 at the time, and it's a progressive condition. So I had another one of those like life flashing before my eyes moments of nothing will ever be the same again, you know? And I just immediately went down the spiral of like, I could die before I'm 50, just like my mom, just like my grandma, like I was seeing these cycles play out. I was like, I probably won't be able to have children. I saw my life and what I had thought would be my life crumble before my eyes. Thankfully, within a few weeks of doctor's appointments and talking with him and whatnot, we found that there was like a treatment available that I could try. And so I went ahead and I started it. And I think thankfully, just because I was like so tuned into my health at that point already, my body was like really equipped. Like once it started to work with a medicine, it just, you know, started healing pretty quickly. So a couple months later, I was cleared of the hepatitis C, but it was a very interesting experience of being diagnosed with and experiencing the same thing that my mom had gone through 8 years prior to that, 10 years prior to that. And realizing it just, it was like this weird twisted thing of like a connection to her that I hadn't had in so long of, I got it from her, you know, like she didn't mean to give it to me, and it's, she would never have wanted to give it to me, but it was just this, such a surreal mind fuck of an experience to be like, wow, it was just so bizarre. And just had me thinking, it brought up a lot more grief because I was like grieving her all over again. It just like brought her existence and that entire experience back to mind. And then, you know, from there, that was just another big part of my health journey. Cause yeah, it cleared out the hep C, but from there, like my gut was destroyed. My thyroid was out of whack. My hormones were out of whack. It just, it really did a number on my body. And now like four years later, I'm still recovering from what that did to me. You know, not what it did to me, but really just what it put my body through. And so, yeah, that was the wildness of hepatitis C. And it's hard for me to talk about it because once again, there is so much like shame and stigma around it when I can't explain how I got it. When I, like if I've had guys find out in the past and it's, so for anyone that's unaware, last bit I'll say on it, it's most often a sexually transmitted disease and or through sharing needles, typically in a like more drug use way. There's a lot, especially like back in a while, it was popping off. There's a lot of shame and stigma around hepatitis C and how people get it. So I have had this story running for a long time about how like, if I say I have hep C, they need to know the whole story. They need to know, you know, how I got it and what it went around. So that's also been a massive life lesson for me of just being able to like not attach to a label or a diagnosis or an identity, and also just to not have to explain myself to everyone. And also just in a lot of ways had to, you know, nudge me to connect with my health on a whole new level. So that's the long story.
Wow. I got chills hearing that, especially when you said that it was the same doctor as your mom. I can't believe that that happened. But also I was going to ask, and then you kind of answered yourself that like, was that kind of a weird way that you reconnected with your mom in this, like you said, twisted way? And it's just such an interesting experience that you had having to deal with not just the diagnosis, but the aftermath of it all, not just with your health, but the stigma. And there's so much there. So thank you for sharing. And once again, being open and vulnerable. I think there's so many diagnoses, things we go through just in our lives, traumas that people have shame around and guilt around. And I think that you just sharing that will help so many people. So thank you. And I guess that brings me to, you said in your story that you ended up leaving college, and I assume like probably to also heal from everything that was going on, you probably didn't have the energy for college. But it sounds like, just from everything we've talked about, in the best sense of the term, you've lived this very unconventional life. Like you left college, you have gone through these massive, massive life experiences at such a young age that it's so crazy that you went through all these things, but also so powerful and shaping of who you are today. So could you speak a little to how you've integrated kind of your unconventional path of, I know you moved to Austin like 3 years ago and left home. And so all these different experiences of like taking the path less traveled, but also like feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Could you sort of speak to that and just how you've moved through that fear and done it anyway? Because I think that it's one thing to say that you are going to take the leap, going to quit the job. And then it's another thing to actually have these lived experiences, some of which were out of your control, some of which were, and to actually come out the other side.
Yeah, it's interesting because in recent months, I've had quite a few people reflect back to me this quality of courage, courageousness that I mean, we all have it, but that I really embody, except I've never viewed it that way, right? I've always viewed these experiences and these choices and decisions I've made as me having no fucking clue what I'm doing, but following this like internal guidance system, my intuition and the nudges. And oftentimes, right, all the decisions had a logical point to them too. For college, you know, I was like, yeah, I honestly wasn't healthy enough. I would walk up a flight of stairs and be out of breath, you know, so there was a definite that part of it. But the real underlying drive for all of these things was just a knowing that, yes, like the fear was there to go the path less traveled, but knowing that I had to. It was this like consistent nudging, full body knowing of, I'm not meant to be in college. This isn't the path for me. And if I had gone to college, I wouldn't have connected with the friend through podcasting. I wouldn't have started this. I wouldn't have connected with the person that got me the Hep C. What happened was that the more I followed those nudges and the more I stepped off the path and I started creating my own path, the more opportunities found their way to me, the more that life started to like play the game with me. And then once you pick up on that, it becomes a lot less scary because you start to understand and you start to believe and have faith that like it will work out. And even if I do make this choice or go down this path and it doesn't end up being right, you start again, or you veer off course again, or you turn back around if you need to. And so it's really become this like practice of feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Of just, when I moved to Austin, when I like left home, when I did all of these things, I was scared shitless and I had no clue what I was doing, but I've always known I could figure it out. I've always been very resourceful. And once again, we all have these attributes. We can all do this. My life experiences pushed me into these pathways kind of in a way. And so yes, like these are my more strong suits. It is turning the pain into purpose and the pain into passion. And so this can look different for everyone. There's lots of areas of life, right, that you're probably more tuned in than I am, and that someone listening is more tuned in than I am. So I guess what I would like want to say and reflect back to people is that, yes, I know I have a interesting story and I know there's a lot there and there's a lot of like, holy shit moments and that's so cool moments. And I've had a lot of people reflect that back. And I always want to mirror and I want to like offer back that we all have this in our own way. And what I have done of like making these choices that are very like scary and big and they've had a lot of fear attached to them. Like you said, I've just like felt the fear and I've done it anyway. And I've just always started to trust that like things will work out. I'll figure it out, whatever it is. And so it's just this matter of like, I really do think at the end of the day, it comes down to having some sort of faith or trust or belief. And before, that faith and trust and belief was in myself and knowing I could always figure it out. And now it is evolving into, like we were talking about before, a greater faith and trust and belief in this universal force that is supporting my higher good. And I get to play along with that too. So whether that belief and the faith you have is in yourself, or it's in somebody that's by your side, or you can expand it to the like universal God source energy level, whatever it is, having some sort of faith, belief, and trust at the end of the day is what I think ultimately like allows us to step into the fire and step out and to continuously just keep on loving throughout it. I think that answered the original question.
It did. And it's so beautifully said the way you put it. And I hope that really got into everyone's mind. Like, it's not about moving through the motions. It's about having that faith. And like you said, it doesn't always have to be in a higher power, but just having faith in even yourself and that you will be okay. So I guess to bring it back to present day now, and we've talked about so many different aspects of your journey, and I have so many other questions we could talk so much more, but I want to bring it to the present and into how you live your life today and move through your current world and what you're doing now. And I think one thing I wanted to talk about with you is community and attracting the people in your life to help you kind of do what you want to do in this world and be who you want to be and reflect. You use that word reflection and reflection back to yourself and how you've had so many people reflect back to you. And it's like, not everyone is in the place to reflect back to us these things unless they're like at a certain level, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so have you found that it's just you becoming more authentically you that's allowed you to attract these people? And how do you sort of start to build that community, especially when you, it sounds like, started from like zero and now you have this whole life where you are living more authentically. You have used all the things that happened in your past to fulfill out your purpose now.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, especially with community, because, you know, going back to what I've shared previously in this episode, there was a lot of, you know, walls built around me. And just like I was saying fuck you to God and life, I was also kind of saying fuck you to a lot of people and things around me. And I was just really isolating, you know, and if I really liked somebody, cool, they were in my life, but I was generally very like closed off and independent. And, you know, maybe listening through this, you've probably picked up on, I can be, you know, very type A and a bit controlling. And I also spent a lot of my life in this sort of like hyper masculine, get shit done management sort of role and position. So,
amen, right? To all of that.
Yeah. And I think that goes along with like, you know, disorder. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I never really felt like I had great community. You know, in high school, I had my friends and my squad, but even then I always felt this level of disconnect. I always knew, I was like, why can't I connect to people? Why can't I feel close? I don't feel like I have community. And the first taste of that I got was when I started my Instagram. And I think it was because there was that kind of level of disconnect where it was, you know, it was virtual, it was digital. And so I started building this community and I would have DM conversations with people. And then I started the podcast and I started having, you know, these types of like face-to-face video conversations. And I started to realize and connect with people that held aligned morals and values to me. And it started to feel like I was building this community. And I just kind of felt this like another surge of energy of, oh, this is what I've been missing out on. I was from a small town in PA. Nobody understood what the fuck I was talking about when it came to seed oils and this and what, you know, even when I got into meditation when I was like 17, 18, I had nobody to talk to about it. So I had all of these, even like, I remember I read, The Untethered Soul when I was like 18, no one to talk to about it. I remember trying to discuss it with my dad and, you know, unless you read the book, you can't grasp and understand the concept, you know, like it's
right.
It's just one of those things. And so just all these examples, right, of like how I didn't have the community. I didn't realize I was craving it. I get online and I start to realize like, oh, there are people that understand this and there are people that understand me and what I'm experiencing and what I've gone through. And I connected with other people that, you know, went through grief and went through chronic illness. And I just started to make all of these like micro connections through the online space that ultimately like really supported my healing thing and made me feel less alone and just opened me up to more and more opportunity. So then I moved to Austin, Texas 3 years ago. And that was about 3 to 4 years into my online podcasting presence, whatnot. And I moved here thinking like, cool, now community gets to be in person because I'm not living in the middle of nowhere. I'm in a city. Mm-hmm. Except it didn't happen that way. I moved here and I realized that like my person, my body wasn't open, right? Like I was still closed off and I could connect with people so well online, but in person and like whatever it might be, I didn't feel like I could do it. I was still this like shut down shell version of me. And I remember even then thinking like, fuck, I wish I could channel like little me that just walked in a room and made friends with everyone. But I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't connect to that energy. So my first 2 years in Austin were honestly like very lonely. And I was working in service industry while building all of my side stuff. And it was just a very interesting energy to be in. I had a lot of like work friends, but once again, it was kind of like your college experience. Like I had a spiritual awakening. I moved here, started getting into like working in service industry, doing my side hustles, and just started hanging out with a lot of people that weren't aligned with my lifestyle. And I started picking up characteristics and attributes that weren't mine. And being in that field, picking up a lot of energy that wasn't mine either. And I didn't have any sort of like energetic hygiene practice. So my first 2 years here in Austin, I had my online community kind of, but even then I didn't feel connected to it because I was just so disconnected to life. Anyway, fast forward, and last year, so like December 2022. Yeah. The fall of 2022, I got a breathwork certification. I started meditating more, started manifesting like left and right, getting like new job opportunities, attracting people, like people wanting to hang out. Like it was this cool thing that, you know, you experience when you start to open up to life again, where things are attracted to you, right? It's like your energy, your vibration rises, you pull that in, you call that in. And so I started calling in as I was, you know, doing breath work and meditation and working on myself and making all of these massive life changes, like making real big change in my life. Life met me. Life started playing the game. They're just like moving up levels with me. So people like that started getting called into my life. And so it started with making friends with my best friend, Claire. And from her, then getting introduced to like the community she had found. And then from there, getting introduced to another person. And then it's just like, it becomes this almost just like, I keep saying game, but that's kind of what it is. The more and more authentic, as you said, I came to be for me, I just kept calling in more and more people that way. And I started building like my own community. So it is this in between of putting yourself in the environment and in the places to meet these people, right? And I met my friend Claire through my podcast and through Instagram. And then I met others like in person. So it's yes, being in places and doing things that might attract people that you're looking to connect with. And I do believe there is an element of the internal and self-work you do. I don't know. I just view it as like the level you're able to go to, you're then able to meet people at that same level too. And for me, I wanted to connect with people that were very conscious and connected and in tune with their emotions and mental health and all of these things. But when I wasn't at that place, it was really hard for me to connect with those people because when we had conversations, whatever it was, like I could barely like meet them in the middle, right? Versus having like a level-headed conversation or a connection piece. It's just so nuanced and I'm rambling here, but it's also like, you don't have, I'm not trying to like differentiate and say just because you're spiritually woke and aligned and whatnot, you're like, it's just overall, you could be working a shit job, not have money. You could feel like your life is just in crumbles and a mess. And even with all those external factors being in play, if you are in touch with your internal landscape, and I don't care if you do 2 minutes of meditation or you do breath work or you take 3 minutes to just look up at the sky, whatever the fuck you have to do to connect to your like internal self and to be grounded in yourself and your life and your desires and get out of that subconscious patterning, whatever it is, that's what calls in people. It's not reaching this like level of enlightenment or having like all the shit figured out, or it's not this like material world level. When you like show up for yourself, you're then just like calling in more of that around you. And I'm struggling to find the words to explain this right now. So I'm just going to end it here in a second. But like all in all, yes, like finding community has changed my life. And it has been such a growing lesson for me to see that the more I pour into myself and the more like true and authentic I become to who I am and who I want to be, I call in more and more people of that caliber and of similar values and morals and everything. And it's just like a beautiful unfolding in a sense.
I know you think that you rambled, but I think that you just said it so well, because it's that idea of like attracts like.
Yes.
And the energy that you put out, and we talked about this with manifestation, and we talked about this on our previous podcast episode together. It's like what you put out, like what the fuck use, like you're only going to get that back. And I think it applies to everything, including relationships. And to just go back to earlier in your story, when you had that shield on, when you had that protective layer, it's like, no wonder you're not going to attract the people that you want who are open, who don't have that on them, because like attracts like. And that's not where you were at in your life. And that might be if someone feels stuck right now in their relationships. And it's not to say you have to have like all new friendships and all new relationships. I was just talking about this with someone else yesterday on the podcast. And you can also change your current relationships and how they look. The change comes from within. And I think that you really emphasize that so well, because it's not about the external things. And like you said, the job you have or how much money you have or all the things that we kind of attach ourselves to, once again, going back to attachment, but it's about, are you connected to who you are on the inside? And if you are, you're likely going to attract people who are also that. And also being proud of it almost, because I think that the way that you put yourself out there on the internet and the way that you probably carry yourself also in person has that element to it of like, I know who I am. I'm doing the inner work. It's like this quiet confidence almost. So I just think that that's so valuable for people to hear, especially if they don't feel like they have that right now. Mm-hmm. And the lesson, I think, is just know that it's possible for you. And it's not that we're doing anything differently to like be calling these things in. It's that we've kind of unlearned a lot of things instead of putting the guard up, kind of like we were talking about. So
yeah, and I want to say really quick with that too, because if someone were to look at my life right now, right, and they go from this episode and they come find me online, I want to put in perspective where I was a year ago when I started calling in all the magic that is my current life. Me living in my dream home with my soul family community and amazing work opportunities and this like fun, sparkly life that still has a lot of shit that I'm working through, whatever. This like magic that I've created now started happening a year ago to the dot in February, or I guess it's March now, but it started in February 2023 when I was broke as fuck, had one super part-time job, was living in an apartment that I did not like. My external life from the outside was kind of a shit show and it was all blowing up. But inwardly, I stuck with my meditation and my breathwork practice. I went to the gym. I ate well foods. Like I was, while everything else around me felt like it was blowing up and going to shit, it just like deepened my internal practice even more. And I truly think like it was from that place that I called in the dream jobs that I now have. It is from that place that my friends that I've now grown so close with first found me. I just want to put that in perspective of I was in that place where everything was so dark and so bleak, but I stayed true. And I just believed from that like inward place that things were working out for my higher good and that I was showing up for my higher good. And then everything has unfolded in the most magical of ways to get me here to the present where I'm having this conversation with you. And so I wanted to just share that as like a last thing, just to put in perspective of I've walked the walk, you know, like I've been there, I've done that. And like, that is why I'm here sharing this today, because I've done it, you know, and that's why I truly believe that like when you're connected within, anything is possible.
Mic drop right there. Yeah. And I'm so happy you shared the behind the scenes too. And also the fact that the first 2 years that you were in Austin, you weren't living this life and you didn't have that community. And that's really important to share too, because it doesn't happen overnight. And like you said, a year ago, I mean, a year is a long time. It also is, you know, perspective, but for all those months and the years prior and what happened in between last February and now, it's like, yeah, you put in the work. So that's a really important note to end on. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I also like even just looking at your Instagram, you'd think, oh, wow, she has this, like you said, sparkly life. She's called in all these amazing things, the dream house, the dream friend group, but it doesn't just come out of thin air. So I think that's a beautiful way to kind of wrap this up. And I have just so loved every part of this conversation. I can't wait for people to listen to this and to dig into your content, get to know you better after listening to this. So before we share where everyone can find you, I have 5 rapid fire questions I ask everyone. So the first one is, what's your favorite fruit?
Ooh, I'd have to say blueberries.
Ooh, love. That's one of my favorites too. What is your sun sign?
Capricorn.
Okay, nice. When's your birthday?
January 14th.
Oh my God, that's my mom's birthday. That's so funny. Do you resonate with that? I mean, you said a lot of things I feel like that would probably a lot. It makes sense to me, but.
I'm so Capricorn. It's hilarious, but I really resonate with it. And I have like almost all of my signs are earth signs. So in general, I'm just a very like earthy bish, but yeah, I do resonate.
That's so funny. What is one book that changed your life that you would recommend to everyone?
Ooh, there's so many, but the most one of the more recent ones was The Surrender Experiment.
That's my favorite book.
Oh my gosh. I like thought I had,
oh my God,
that book changed my life. I just read that this past fall. And yeah, going back to like what I said before about being, I've been super controlling type A in my math, like learning to surrender and trust, that book like shifted so much. So I like bought it for my dad for Christmas and I don't think he's read it yet, but I'm like, it'll call to him when the time's right. And then it'll change his life. Yeah.
That's so funny. I bought it for one friend of mine and then I ended up not being able to give it to her. And then I gave it to someone else and it really kind of like found her where she was at and she loved it. So I feel like it finds people the way it's supposed to. And that book is like life-changing. So I'm so happy you said that. So funny that like if someone asked me that question, I would say the same thing. What is one habit or ritual you do every day? And I know we've talked about a lot of different ones that is a non-negotiable for you.
I'm going to say, yeah, there's so many, but I would say taking my time outside. And I want to like hit that because it's like everyone says breathwork meditation. Yeah, I do those things. Mm-hmm. And like prioritizing a few moments outside where I'm just taking a few deep breaths and I'm looking at like the sky. If I can, I'm like touching a tree or touching the grass, whatever it is. Yeah, it's just interesting. I spent like a lot of years living in apartments where I was only going outside to like let my dog out. And so I see it here in the city, especially like the way that some people can just go all day without being like intentionally outside for a few minutes, or you're just like walking from your car to here, like, no, go outside, take a few minutes, touch a tree, touch the grass, look up at the sky, like take in all the beauty and the fresh air around you. And that's just as important as any other practice you could be doing.
If not more. Yeah. And I'm in a deep, my listeners know this if you like listen to the podcast regularly, I'm in a deep circadian biology hole and the sunlight and the grounding, it's so important for your health. So yeah, if you haven't gone outside today, this is your sign. But the last question and something I like to end every podcast with is, you know, this podcast is called Loving Wellness. So what does loving wellness mean to you?
Ooh. I would draw it back to compassion and having that be compassion for self, for body, for others. Like I just reflect back on my own wellness journey and see how much of it was fueled by hate and dislike and fear and all of these things. And a few years ago, my cousin started studying self-compassion and how radically it can shift people's lives. And it was like my first introduction and thought of like, oh yeah, I'm not very compassionate towards myself or my body. And since then it's been just like a huge driving force for me of, you know, really, yeah. What am I doing right now? Is this out of hate or is this like compassionate towards my body? And I don't think the self-compassion is always like sitting around doing, you know, it's not using it as an excuse to sit around and do nothing or to eat this or eat that, but like being compassionate of just like, what is my body needing right now? And that has been just such a game changer for me. So I think loving wellness resonates to me as that compassion energy of what am I needing right now? And how can I treat myself, my body, my life, others with love and compassion?
I love that so much. And that's exactly my intention with everything I do and with the name and my practices. So Thank you for that reflection back to me. And yeah, I always say, you know, you can't heal a body you hate. And so I think you spoke to that beautifully. So thank you again for this entire conversation, for opening up the way that you did, and just for everything. I am so excited for people to listen to this, like I said, but where can everyone find you if they want to learn more, listen to your podcast, follow you on socials, pimp yourself out?
Love it. Well, yeah, thank you again just for having me. This was so fun. But they can find me on Instagram at Emily Feichels. I'm sure you'll have that spelled out below. And then my podcast is Let's Thrive. And I'm so excited to have your episode airing on there soon. And then if you're in Austin by chance, I do have a side baking business too. And so you can find me on Instagram at ATX Cake Bay. And that'll be another, that's for Austin locals only. But yeah, those are all my places. That's where you can connect, learn more. And I really do love connecting and chatting with people. So if you're listening and anything resonated, like hit me up. Would love to chat.
I love that. And your cakes look so good, by the way. So I kind of wish I was in Austin. I unfortunately am not, but definitely if you are, go check them out. They look delicious. And thank you everyone for listening. I'll talk to you in the next one. Bye.